call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with our residents and our community. Please be with our employees. Please be with our military. Please guide this meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? Councilmember Lehman? Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Abadaka? Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
The other three members are at TML this evening. All right, item five, citizens' participation. We have three residents this evening signed up to speak. The first one is Mr. Francisco Torres at 4831 Aspenwood regarding a dispute with a neighbor. Mr. Torres, while you're walking up there, citizens to be heard is for the City Council to receive information on issues that may be of concern to the public. Citizens to be heard is limited to 3 minutes. A purpose of the Open Meeting Act is to ensure that the public is always given notice of the items that will be discussed by the council. Should a member of the public bring an item to the council for which the subject was not posted on the agenda for the meeting, the council may receive the information but cannot discuss or act upon it at the meeting. Floor is yours, sir.
Okay, my name is Francisco Torres. I've been living on 4831 Aspenwood. You probably know my neighbor, James Craig. He's my next door neighbor, and believe me, you don't want to have a neighbor like that. My AC went out 2 weeks ago, and I already went through Kirby Police Department, San Antonio Police Department, CPS, Sheriff Police Department. Nobody can do nothing at this time. And I would like to see one of you guys one day at 90 degrees. I've been 14 days with no AC, and it's ridiculous. I need to find a way to get into my meter, because we had that zero property line, but I had to have a right to get into my meter. All I had to do is reset my meter, and he don't let nobody. Yesterday, I called a cop to politely tell him to let me in. He bring a lot of stuff, nonsense stuff. He don't let me in. I've been tried so many times. CPS been leaving some messages there. I'm tired of this thing. I need to know where I need to go, because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, and I'm fed up with this. 3 years ago, the same thing happens. He didn't want nobody in. We forced him out. Sheriff Police Department, CPS Police Department, we forced him out. And Sheriff told him the next time was going to be worse. But at this time, it seems like they tried to do it more like paperwork. Meanwhile, it's been 2 weeks already, 90 degrees, and this is kind of ridiculous. I need to know if there's any way somebody can help me here. I'm not the kind of person to create problems. I know these guys been here all the time. I know these guys always call for trouble on Facebook and everywhere. All I want is my house to be with AC. Is there anything y'all can advise me or something on where else I need to go?
We can't advise you. It's a civil matter, so I'm sorry?
We've already
done
the only advice.
There has to be a way. All I need to do is 10 seconds to go into my property, reset my meter. This is ridiculous. So, is there any way you guys can help me?
There's nothing that the council can do for a civil matter with that information. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to intervene into that issue. The city staff, I would just suggest trying to go that route for the information that they gave you.
Yeah. We don't go anywhere. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for speaking this evening. Ms. Sharon Schuler, 3110 Bez Aldrin, regarding Springfield Road, which is agenda item 7E. Would you like to speak now? And BJ 3634 Kirby Drive, email sent.
I just wanted to know if y'all had any questions on the email I sent. Has code compliance done anything? Have y'all researched it about the gutter drains being pointed toward my house and my neighbor's house, which floods? I've burnt up sump pumps. I've spent a lot of money. And I bought him an extension. It sits on a table at the back of his house. I can't do anything with my part of it until he fixes his part of it. I'm not going to pay for his part. That's not right when the drains are pointed at to my corner of my house. So I didn't know if y'all had any questions on the emails.
After I actually read it, I probably will. However, that's we were just discussing. I didn't get your email, so it was actually printed for me. So
right, I dropped off two copies actually for review.
I didn't get it, but I'm looking, and my email address is right on here, so I'm not actually sure why it's not coming from my iPad.
And that's why I did it in two parts, because I didn't want to where it would bounce back for it being too much. Okay. So,
but I'll I will look at it and I'll.
Okay, and actually, I did reach out to code compliance last November, and she never came by my house.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that concludes the residents signed up this evening. We will circle back with Sharon when we get to that item. All right, item 6A, regular meeting minutes of September 26th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to accept the motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of September 26th.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the regular meeting minutes of September 26th. All in favor, raise your right hand. All right, so we'll need to bring that back. If we can bring those minutes back with our next meeting. For everybody that didn't know, in order to make something either to make a yes, there has to at least be four members that vote in favor. So that's why we will be bringing our minutes back up to our next meeting. Councilmember Wilson has abstained. Item 7A, discussion and possible action on Benzingelman Road reconstruction project. I will turn it over to our director.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Update, we went through, we had a fire hydrant installed last week. They put the necessary riser on there. They have not done any milling or curb work until today. They just started up again. They did have a construction crew go out and hand out flyers this week, which those flyers were not pre-approved, and that timing was not approved for them to go and install that fire hydrant, which they did not do. I did go ahead and send my guys out there, verify a shutdown so there wouldn't be any other bumps in the road over there, which we verified it when the water was off for very minimal time, let's say about 20 minutes, somewhere around there. So they will be able to move forward. We just need to review the letter that they sent. Also, there was the other letter that they requested, and I don't think, are we going to vote on that right now or no?
Contract, it does say in the contract that with prior approval by council, Saturday could be allowed. So a couple weeks back, we approved that one Saturday. But what they're asking is for approval to just be able to work Saturdays in general if they need to.
Do we have anybody show up Saturday to do the work?
That one day they did. They did work that day.
Yeah, they did show up that Saturday. They did some milling out there the morning time. They had a crew out there, but they weren't out there all day. They were out there for just a few hours. They did a little bit here and there.
And that's my concern with the whole Saturdays. We had given them the entire
week
time to do that. They could have done it from 7 to 6. We stated that. And the fact that they were only there for a few hours, and if I'm not mistaken, the milling was supposed to have already been complete.
Yes.
Too.
The crews that they have their crew to do the demolition, and then they have the crews that do the forming. Now, when I spoke during our project meeting last Friday with their project manager, Isidro, I suggested, okay, you're going to do the fire hydrant, which is on the south side of the road. While that is being done, you can go ahead and lay down the curb on the other side or complete the milling while they're doing that hydrant. You have a complete shutdown. You'll have water in the area, but the way the road is set up and the way it is, they could have laid down the curb on the north side. So they could have had both crews working to get that taken care of. However, they didn't. And they didn't get the letter. They were asking, they actually called me last night about 5:30, 6 o'clock, asking if they were going to be able to work today. And I told them no, because they didn't get the letter sent out and approved. And if they were to give me a letter soon enough and we could look at it and approve it, it'd be possible they could do it Monday. However, they did send the letter late at the end of the business day or past the end of the business day. And I believe they're requesting to work Tuesday and Wednesday and have the water off for both days. Now, the reason they're asking for 2 days this time as opposed to one is because they're gonna need to totally take out that fire hydrant, install a new piece of main, and move the hydrant, because there's an electrical box right there behind where it would be if they were to just install another one. Personally, if I had a crew, I'd be able to do it in 1 day, but for some reason they want 2 days. I don't know why, but that's what they're asking for.
I'm pretty sure we know why with them. They're probably not confident that they'll have enough people show up to probably do it. So, but with that, with the fire hydrant, what does that do as far as our fire department and the residents in that area while that fire hydrant's being replaced?
What we do is we notify dispatch of the areas that are going to be without water, so they'll notify the fire department, and whenever they need, if there is an emergency, there's still other areas. They know the areas that do not have water, so they'll be able to go and find a different spot that's closer to the emergency situation to take care of it. So we do notify them of everything as far as the shutdown and what streets are out, what hydrants are out.
So the fire hydrant that we're talking about, is that the one that's on corner of Singleman and Crest?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So they're also part of this recovery plan. Again, they're asking if they can work phases 5 and 7 at the same time. My personal opinion is they can't do the phase that they're on. They were supposed to have, you know, again, they said if they work Saturday, that one Saturday, that would put them so ahead. And now they're, you know, not doing that either and didn't take the opportunity to work that entire time.
And they were not there the entire day, no?
Yeah. And as far as just arbitrarily working whatever Saturday they choose, me personally, I'm against that, just for the fact that maybe they're there and maybe they're not, and maybe somebody, one of the residents, may plan something, because obviously for our residents, you know, the parking is messed up already, so if anyone has an event or what have you, and then they schedule something somewhere else and they could have actually used their home, to me that's putting our residents at inconvenience as well, especially if they're not gonna take advantage of being able to work on Saturday. And according to this, if they are allowed to work on Saturdays, it would cut approximately 20 days off the project completion. I honestly thought that if that was the case, I honestly think that the residents would be on board with that as well. However, I'm not confident that that's a true and correct statement, just because of the entire project and their history and their track record there. And as far as 5 and 7, again, double phases to me is not an option, just for the fact that I think we'd have an entire area torn from one area to the another, and we would still have you coming to us and saying, well, they couldn't do this because they could only work today. That's just how I feel. Also, allowing the project to put both phases 5 and 6 together to complete street work fully in both phases at the same time concrete was commencing. So they have several options. So what if they don't finish with the fire hydrant and all of those? Because aren't they're still on that schedule to where, I mean, they're already behind, so every day it's costing them, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still paying liquidated damages.
That hydrant that you were just speaking of, they're saying they're going to shut it down for no water for 2 days.
Well, during business hours.
But I'm asking, do we have a way of just being able to isolate that hydrant besides the residents not having water for possibly 2 days?
Well, there, that fire hydrant, these, a lot of these fire hydrants don't have controlling valves. Now, what a controlling valve is you have the mainline valve, controlling valve, it tees off to the fire hydrant, but there's also a valve in front of the hydrant to where you can shut that one valve off without affecting the water to the residents and change out that fire hydrant. Now, what we have in our system here is asbestos concrete pipe, which does not have mechanical joints on it. Some of the valves have what you call mega lug, which kind of holds it in place. That valve that's on the corner, that's why we had to extend the shutdown, because the valve on the corner, the contractor was nervous that it would be a push-on, a roll-on valve without the mechanical, without the bolts, nuts and bolts to hold everything in place. So that being said, all the pressures on the other side of the valve, he was nervous that the valve would push out after they excavated. So that's the reason for extending it. Now, another thing is they are going to eliminate the hydrant, cut in a piece of pipe, and move the other hydrant with a mechanical 90 on there and a controlling valve. So in the future, if we ever have to do any type of work on that fire hydrant, rebuild the guts or do anything, we shut that one valve off, which is not an inline valve, and it'll keep the residents in water, and we'll be able to work on that hydrant, call dispatch, notify them that particular hydrant will be out until it's fixed.
So we're doing that at this time. Correct.
No. At this time, we're going to have to make the shutdown in order to cut in that piece of pipe. Now, what they said on their letter that they proposed to us is 8 to 5. So they want to. I'm guessing what they're going to do is they're going to eliminate that hydrant, cut in a piece with the T, and put the valve there, and then come back the next day, turn off the controlling valve with the mega lugs on there, and bring the water, everybody back in service, and then hang the hydrant. They didn't give me that in detail. That's what I'm thinking and why they would request 2 days. However, I don't know. The other issue is that asbestos concrete pipe can be anywhere between 3 feet and 18 feet. So if they run into a joint, you can't really cut asbestos pipe. If you do, you got to be very careful with it. Keep it wet, soapy, X amount of mils over it of plastic. And then you got to make sure that you have the right OD, outer diameter of the pipe. You get an OD tape if they do cut it. Asbestos concrete, the OD changes from joint to joint. So you can have an OD of 8.66 and then go further down and have the next joint of pipe and have an OD of 8. You know, it just changes so much. So they would have to go to the next joint. So I'm thinking that's why they wanted to have 2 days for it. But at the same time, it's... Sometimes when you come off of the valves, they do what you call a 3-foot special, and it's just right there.
What parameter or area, the perimeter is, does that turning the water off in that area affect? Is it Ben Zingelman plus behind?
Ben Zingelman, James Lavelle, Fred Hayes, I believe, and.
So Fred Hayes is in the front of the project then?
Yeah. It was a Ben Zingelman. Fred Hayes, Tom Stafford, and James Lavelle.
They can't do that all in one day?
It just depends. I don't know what their capabilities are. I was saying personally, me, I think I'd be able to go out there and do it in one day. However, I don't know what their capabilities are, what equipment they have, what parts they have. I don't know any of that. I just know that it could take 2 days, it could take 1 day.
So what are they considering a day? Like 3 hours is their day, or that's why it's going to take 2 days, or?
The first hydrant they installed, they actually did it pretty quickly. They did it in about 4 or 5 hours. They had the water on pretty quick. However, they didn't have to physically relocate the hydrant so much. They just had to move where the existing hydrant was, add a little bit of pipe. This one's going to a little bit more because that electrical box is right behind where they would be putting the hydrant. So to get away from that, you know, the hydrant's going to be moved over more towards the center of the yard. So
I only ask because I would be more apt to allow them to continue working past 6 in order to fix it, you know, to get it maintained so that at least residents would have
water.
Rather than, you know,
I think it's ridiculous to have our.
Yeah, they would turn the water.
Well, no, I understand that, but a full 2 days, yeah. If they could finish it, then you would only have that 1 day.
And again, speaking from my own experience, I would say if they were to have to go into the next day, I wouldn't expect it to be past lunch. But again, that's me. I don't know what their capabilities are exactly.
So, is there a way to find out what you were talking about earlier about what they were going to do? going back to the citizens on those four streets and then installing the hydrant for the second day.
I can see what they're going to do. And again, it's a time thing, whatever they find in the ground. If they find 3-foot specials and they can tie in real quick, well, they could probably have the hydrant in by the same day, which I'm expecting they should. I don't know why they put 2 days, but that's what they put. That's what we could possibly expect.
Put the pressure on them, Gilbert.
So on the on their activity, or actually on the, I guess it's an activity schedule, the part where it says that when they're going to, have they finished installing the curbs?
No.
So that was supposed to have been done 9:30. They hadn't mowed the pavement, correct?
Still pretty much in the demolition phase with the exception of the fire hydrants.
Okay.
So, like I said, that's what I suggested. Install the fire hydrants on the south side, do your curbs and everything on the north side. Now, they did ask for Mark on the subgrade and what they wanted, but we had that answered already. We had that answered on Friday, actually, or maybe before Friday. we were talking and going back and forth, and you know, in reality, they could have worked on the curb, and I've been suggesting that to them. You know, knock both of them out at the same time, because one's going to be on one side of the street, the other guy's going to be on the other side of the street, so you can get that done. However, it has not been done. There was probably a couple of huge potholes out there that I had them address. Hopefully it holds up. We're expecting rain tomorrow. What they put in there was not permanent, but again, there those areas where that subgrade's bad, it's where it calls for reconstruction, where they need to dig it up and reinstall, restabilize the area. So.
And this is why every time they come back and say, oh, if you let us work two phases together, because this was also their request that they work 4 and 5 together, but they literally cannot even get out of 4 in their own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they are planning on, as far as the letter, you'll look at it or y'all will approve it or see if it.
We'll know by tomorrow.
And then.
Yeah, we should know by tomorrow, hopefully. So they sent the letter. It just depends on what needs to be corrected and
right.
When they send it
and
back.
And again, if we can be very specific about, there is a potential that you will have no water between this day and this day, or this time and this time, on this day, so that at least people can prepare, you know, fill their bathtubs so they can flush their toilets or, you know, whatever they need to do.
Yeah, we'll have them get those out, and then we'll put up the notifications as well. So.
Anybody else have any questions about losing?
Anything about the request letter? Do you have anything about the request letter?
I don't think so. At this point we don't. Is there anything on the request letter that we need to do since?
One of the options.
Well, Saturday, I would believe that it's not every Saturday. I would think that they need to tell us what Saturday, and again, just similar to what we did last time. That's just my personal opinion. That
I think we should deny the whole thing.
Like I said.
Because we gave them a Saturday, they didn't utilize
correct.
It. And we already know about phase 5 and 7 and what we did there, and everything else is pretty much exactly the same thing.
Yeah, which is exactly. That's why I wouldn't arbitrarily let them use every Saturday. I would make them ask, you know, ask that. So each time I would suggest that they come back and ask. Just for the fact that we gave them a chance to do it and they chose not to utilize it. All right, so don't leave. Or maybe, I don't know. I was going to say, maybe you can take that one. All right, so thank you, Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Item 7B, discussion and possible action on the Hickory Hill Drive reconstruction project.
Okay, so I provided you all with a copy of a document from our city engineers at M&S. When they started working on the Hickory Hill project, they discovered an issue with some of the soil, and they need to compact it with some additional base to stabilize it. So they actually were asking for permission to go ahead and move forward with doing that because they didn't want to stop working. But I explained to them that, you know, all change orders that we're going to have a financial impact had to come for approval first. So the change order request is for $20,155.50. So that would bring the total contract price to $449,688.50. We budgeted
fiscal year a total of $575,248, and we were funded CDBG funds of $420,912 for this project. So finance director and I were kind of doing the math before this, and so it appears that the contract came in lower than what we initially anticipated, so it looks like we would be okay from a financial standpoint adding this cost.
Well, and it's very detailed, which is something we haven't seen before. So, I mean, there's very specific information that talks about, you know, exactly why they need to do it.
You know, 247 flexible base in the amount of 302.5 cubic yards. It gives you an actual cost on it.
Yeah, which is something that we haven't had. So we just need, does somebody need to make that, just the change order amount, the $20,000? All right, so if there is anybody who would like to make a motion to allow the change order in the amount of $20,155.50.
I make a motion to make a change order and allow it to go through an additional cost of $20,155.50, making the total $449,688.50.
Where are we finding this money?
It's already in the
budget. It's in the budget.
Okay, second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the change order of $20,155.50, bringing the total amount to $449,688.50. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And just so everybody knows, we will not—we're not being charged any downtime fees either. R.L. Jones is sympathetic to the fact that it needed to come back to council, and are waiting to hear from the results of this meeting. So, all right, item 7C: discussion and possible action on the 2018 street bond projects, phase one. Monique, will you be taking this one?
Okay. So a couple of meetings ago, we awarded a contract to JMP Paving for phase one, and we had our pre-construction meeting on October 1st. They are going to work on their notices. They didn't give us a specific start date, but they plan to distribute notices to the residents 1 week in advance. They're going to start their construction on Peppermint. So just as a reminder, this phase was part of the bond project, but it's the feeder streets off of Ackerman Road. So it's Peppermint Lane, Harris Road, File, and Kirby Heights. So once they get started, we'll go ahead and start advertising that. You have a copy of the map or exhibit that shows you those side streets. It should be a pretty quick project. I'm trying to remember exactly how many days this is.
And that was barring any rain days or something that was out of their control. All right, does anyone have any questions about that one? Okay. We'll move to item 7D, discussion and possible action on 2018 street bond projects, phase two.
So phase two is Ackerman Road, and that project is still in design phase by M&S Engineering. All survey portion was completed, so
it might be your iPad. I don't know.
Nothing's different.
No, it was sensitive at our meeting.
When they have that design ready, they'll bring it to council for approval of the design, and then we'll have to advertise the bid and the contract for that one as well.
So do they know about how long the design phase will take?
They should be pretty close to completion.
Can we, is that something that we can inquire with them just to give us a ballpark of when? I mean, obviously we want them to do it correctly and to, but I was just curious if we could possibly get a time frame. All right, does anybody have any questions about that one? All right, item 7E, discussion and possible action on private development projects on Springfield Road. Sharon, would you like to talk now? Okay. All right, so you want to tell us what's happened since, Monique?
Since our last council meeting, you have a timeline update on two of those projects. Just to kind of recap, there's 10 lots in Springfield Development. We have the first three lots, 1, 2, and 3, are owned by Big Boy Hauling. So since our last meeting, staff did receive a copy of their small construction site notice for their TCEQ stormwater program and a copy of their TCEQ Texas pollutant discharge elimination system stormwater construction general permit. Those have both gone to Gibler Engineering, who handle our stormwater for us. I followed up with Gibler just on the status of those items, so they are working directly with them, which is the procedure with those stormwater permits. So a property owner applies for them here, pays those fees to the city, then they're forwarded directly to Gibler, and they correspond with them to get it set up for the plan review and the inspections. And then they just notify us once that's completed.
So has there been any stormwater drainage started? The construction of one, the plans of one?
Yeah, plans started, yes.
Okay,
so
but no construction has actually started to get that, correct? Okay. Because there was information, which as we can discuss too, there was much different information brought to the planning and zoning, at the planning and zoning when there was discussion about that, so. That's why I was curious, just to see if maybe I misunderstood that it was all done except for 150 feet.
I'd probably have to ask you about.
Well, I mean, I would think that we would know that. Yeah.
So really the only other thing, unless there is an update on the code, and if y'all have specific questions about the code, I know it's kind of small print, Chief is prepared to answer those questions, but they did have item on the agenda Tuesday. They have item going to council on the 24th, so we're advised by the attorney not to discuss those items because you all will have an opportunity to consider those.
To not discuss the planning and zoning information?
Correct.
All right. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of discussing. I don't understand why we couldn't if it's a discussion, since the P&Z meeting was a public meeting. That just seems weird.
I guess staff, we can update what happened, but as far as council discussing it, you all will have to do that on the 24th.
Right.
When it's your opportunity to discuss it.
Oh, I didn't mean discuss. I just meant to say what happened. But Sharon, do you want to talk?
Okay, Sharon Schuler. I live at 3110 Buzz Aldrin. First, I want to say I don't go out of my backyard looking for things to come up here to complain about. But when my camera goes off and I see my dog out there trying to do something on the fence line, I go outside to see what she's up to. And on the 28th, on a Saturday in the afternoon, there was business going on behind my home with Big Boy Construction, or hauling, whatever he wants to call himself now, towing recovery. And some guys came up in a black vehicle and they got out and met a guy that was by a white vehicle that had been there for about 3 days, and the guy had a clipboard, and they were inspecting the vehicle, because I watched them. They were inspecting the vehicle, and I did call PD, but PD did not get there in time. And then Tuesday night, after we left the PNZ meeting, I went home and went outside with my dogs and noticed that there was a vehicle transport truck behind my fence, and they I couldn't see what they were doing, but they were in and out very quick. There had been a white vehicle there the previous 3 days, and the next morning that white vehicle was gone. I also called PD. I was on the phone probably for maybe 8 to 10 minutes with the dispatch, because she was answering other calls, and so I couldn't get them on camera, but I got them on my camera as they were leaving, going back down Springfield towards Ben Zingelman. But that's, John Wynn was there. It was his black vehicle. I know that because his vehicle was there when I left to come to the PNZ meeting, because he did not attend, and he was on the agenda. So, well, he was, his project was on there. So anyway, just wanted to report that I did turn that into PD, and just to make my point that he is still conducting business, even though he does not have a CFO. I was going to ask about the storm water drain, if we had any information.
Mayor Wilson and I met with him when we were in negotiations with San Antonio for the boundary adjustment, and at that time he asked if we acquired that property, would he get to keep the same zoning that he had in the city of San Antonio? That zoning was industrial. It was something, I don't remember the specific, but it was an industrial zoning, which would have allowed him to do the projects that they're doing right now. We explained to him we did not have that zoning. The only industrial zoning we had was light industrial, which is what it is zoned now. And we explained to him that he would have to request, you know, that property had to be zoned. Once we acquired it, it would have to go to PNZ for a recommendation. It would have to come to council
but
for
when,
zoning.
When Kirby took it in, was it already zoned commercial?
It was, when we took it in, it didn't have zoning at all. It was zoned industrial in San Antonio. Kirby had to give it zoning.
But
so it went to, yeah, it had no zoning, so it went to PNZ.
But San Antonio, she's asking what San Antonio had it zoned.
Industrial.
Because right. He indicated that it was homes. Dwellings, and y'all approached him.
No, it was, well, that, only thing we did was explain to him that he would have to go through our process of having it zoned.
And I understand what you're saying, Monique, I understand. Right. But my point is here's another one of, he's up here giving false information, and he was throwing you under the bus, basically, the other night at the meeting, like it was all you. And
you were at that meeting, too, Ms. Wilson, yes?
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify that with you because, you know, that initiative you're talking about, he only had 150 feet left for the storm drain, some other false information. And then he stood up here and he was going on and on about when that no one showed up to, you know, talk about his projects when it was being rezoned. And Charlie White stood up and said, I came to the meeting, so don't say that no one, it's like he's putting everything back on all the residents, like, we're causing all the issues, we're causing all the problems. But he came to the meeting 30 minutes late, and he didn't hear the first 30 minutes of our conversation. He was up here just kind of pushing it back off all the residents that were here. And I just wanted to let you know that. I would have sent you an email yesterday, but I was very busy at work, and I did not have time. But just to make sure I have the correct email address, did you get the email that I sent to you and to Patty and to Chief regarding, it was a couple of weeks back before the other meeting, regarding me being able to go back out behind my fence, and I need to call the police before I went back out there so I could cut those accurate trees, because they still have not done that, as they said they would about over a month and a half ago. And I need to get out there to that taken care of. So did you get that email?
We did, and now I'm...
Because I didn't get a response from anybody else, just why I was asking, and I was sending it to you correctly. And I, you know, usually when I get an email at work, I acknowledge someone. You know, yes, I got it, I called the help, but I didn't get an answer from them, so I was kind of curious as to why I didn't get a reply or any kind of response.
If we can let her know before or after the meeting, if it's okay, because to go back.
I thought we sent, we requested that or sent that information to the city attorney and asked his opinion about that. And his response was, if you had to go on someone else's private property to do something to your yard, then yes, you needed to ask their permission to go onto their private property. But if
that's
it was in the
easement,
the information he gave us at that last meeting that showed where all the easements were. So if you're not on his property, if you're in the easement, you did not need his permission.
Okay.
But you do need it if you're on his property. And that was his response.
Okay, thank y'all very much.
And something I wanted to clarify, no lot 1 through 10 has any certificate of occupancies. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, because that was another thing that was said. He acknowledged that he was working
on lot 1
because no other residents had complained. Lot 1. Lot 10.
Lot 10.
So he had said, because that was part of, again, because I can't talk at that meeting either, but that was one of the things that he said, that no resident had complained about all the operations he was doing, and he's right there by Little Taco Factory and has people behind him, and not one person has complained about his operation. So I just wanted to just clarify, just because I thought maybe I misunderstood, that he was the only one that had one.
Nobody has a certificate of occupancy on any of those lots.
So they're conducting business out there of any kind.
They cannot run a business without a certificate of occupancy.
But we keep hearing that they are, and every time something like that comes up, again, we don't know who's getting out there or who's doing what or anything else.
They are. I mean, we were... I have to say it so that they would know. The police department is doing an investigation on trying to catch them, and so...
But that's what I'm saying. But as far as residents not complaining, those residents behind that may not know because it's happened from day one. So maybe they don't know is what I'm saying. All right. But anyway, so P&Z will come up. But maybe if you want to know what happened at that meeting, maybe talk to Sharon or any of the other residents over there. Obviously, we can't talk about it afterwards, but... Patty, you can send Patty an email and she can fill you in because she was there.
Right.
But there was just a lot of misinformation that was said at that P&Z meeting, and that's the disservice that happens because of the fact that the individuals that were in the audience, there was no one there to say otherwise. So it was just a one-sided conversation to a group of three P&Z members that were there that are hearing this information, and there's nothing that can be said to say to the contrary. Exactly.
And on to that, and with the letter being sent out on Ben Zingelman, we were, Charlene and Sharon were saying that it needs to have English on one side and Spanish on the other side because some of their people on their street do not speak English. And
the notices about the P&Z meetings?
No, on any of the letters that are being sent out for door, the, like,
in general,
the one on, yeah, construction notices at all.
But yes, that was actually specifically was talking about Springfield.
Right.
Because it was mentioned that it was 1, 2, and 3 and not, there was, I think, lot 6 was on there, but it didn't mention on the letter about lot 6. And there may be some individuals that, there are individuals that sit there on the other, so I don't know.
But even on Ben Singleman.
Has to have their own letters. So there were different letters sent out for each request.
But that's what I'm saying. Was it only, so is it?
One for 6, one for.
But that's what I'm saying. Does it go to the same residents, like the entire block, or only the ones directly behind that area?
100 feet.
Okay.
Well, even on Ben Zingelman, though, it would be nice because there probably are people who live on Ben Zingelman that do not speak Spanish and make one side English and one. Correct.
All right, item 7F, discussion and possible action on appointing member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. We have, on the Beautification Recycle, I don't have any here. Did we have any after the fact? All right, so we will move to 7G. Yes, we have that one. So on 7G, discussion and possible action on appointing alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission, we do have one applicant, Ms. Lexi Potter. I don't know, is she here? All right, so we have an option to appoint to a alternate position. There are two positions expiring 10-1-2021, and there are two positions expiring 10-1-2020. So if somebody would like to make a motion, just be specific on 10-1-2021 and 10-1-2020.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the application for Lexi Potter for the term ending in 10-1-2020.
All right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to appoint Lexi Potter to the Buildings and Standards Commission as an alternate with a term expiring October 1, 2020. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. If you can notify Ms. Potter and let her know. All right, item 7H, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. Do not have any applicants here. All right, so we will move on. Item 7I, discussion and possible action on appointing up to 4 members to a Charter Review Commission. On August 22nd, Council had appointed 3 of 7 members, Stephanie Faulkner, Mary Lawler, and Jean Manning. There are still 4 positions needed to fill that commission. I do not have any applications with me. Any there? All right, so if anybody is interested in serving on the Charter Review Commission, please fill out an application for consider for appointment. Item 7J, discussion and possible action on entering into an interlocal agreement for fire protection and first responder emergency medical services with Bexar County Emergency Service District Number 11. Chief or Monique?
Okay, so we actually have an agreement that both attorneys from the ESD and the city reviewed and are okay moving forward approving. It's a 3-year agreement adding 3 personnel to 1 firefighter per shift. And it's at that increased cost of $651,000 annually to cover those expenses. We would just need a motion from council tonight to approve it.
Do we need to specify the beginning and ending time or the ending of the contract?
We don't have to, but it can for information purposes.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the interlocal agreement for fire protection and first responder emergency medical services with Bexar County Emergency Service District Number 11.
Have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to enter into an interlocal agreement for fire protection and first responder emergency medical services with Bexar County Emergency Services District Number 11 for a period beginning October 1, 2019 and ending September 30th, 2022. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. ESD interlocal agreement has passed. Item 7K, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-871, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This is something that we need, that we are required to do annually. So I will, staff has recommended the Northeast Herald newspaper. I don't know, Monique, is there anything that you'd like to add to that, or?
Our current newspaper of record is really the only one that's in circulation, I guess, in this area. We have five designated pickup spots in Kirby.
All right, so I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we designate the Northeast Herald as the official news city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2019-871, designating the Northeast Herald newspaper as the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This is the first reading. Any questions? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2019-871 passes for the first reading. All right, item 8A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events and community interest. Councilmember Wilson?
Why me first? I'd like to again ask for the job description for the Kirby Senior Center Director. Per the auditor, it's been a year since we've had audits started, and when they came around, they were telling us things that they would like us to do. And one of the things that she really said that was really important was to have the job description for the Senior Center done. And so I would like to request that we have it done. I think the city manager has, you've sent a couple.
Right, sent some samples
over to them. And I would like to see if we can have it into us by the first council meeting in November, because this is something that the auditors have recommended that be done. And so I'd like to have it on the agenda for the first council meeting in November. And October the 27th is Kirby Baptist Church's Fall Festival.
3 to 5?
3 to 5.
Or
2 to 4.
I think it's 2 hours.
Okay, 3 to 5. Okay,
and
that's all I have.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Not at this time.
Councilmember Pierce? All right, thank you everyone for coming this evening. Thank you to all the residents who spoke this evening. Reminder that October 11th, starting tomorrow through October 13th, is the citywide garage sales. So there was a list of participants that registered with the city for their addresses, but that doesn't encompass everybody who was doing that. So if you're interested in looking for bargains and other things that you might find treasures, just drive the city. Don't forget that at 3634 Kirby Drive, BJ from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, October 11th, 9 to 5, Saturday, October 12th from 9 to 2, and October 13th from 9 to 3. The items sold over there will be used, as far as the proceeds, will be help, to help fund Kirby Community Projects through the city. October 16th, there is a Senior Center Board meeting, and that's one of the agenda items.
Rains on this weekend, will we schedule our city garage sale?
If it rains this weekend, will the citywide garage sale be rescheduled?
It can be.
I would like it to be.
I know that ideally it's to lead into curbside pickup, but...
And that was where I was going next.
Out of rain.
Yeah. So October 4th, technically we could, because it's going through the 31st, and it probably would be a great idea. October 14th through 31st is the curbside brush and bulk pickup. It is being picked up in sectors, so if you're unsure of where your sector is, please check social media. There's also information. It's in the foyer, right, in the little... There's a little area with files. You can pick it there. Just make sure that you read the fine print that's on there. It has to be there by 7 a.m. If you put stuff on there after the pickup's already done, they will not come back for it. And you might get a visit from the city. There is a way to also, if you have excess of 5 cubic yards, you can also speak with Republic Services and work out something with them to pick up the excess. If you do that, please let the city know so that they know that there has been an agreement made with Republic. And again, thank you everyone for coming this evening and taking an interest in your city. We're adjourned.